It's getting late, and I want folks to have some time. So 1 minute.
The next four off the opposed list are Susie Skinner, Roxanne Lahr, L-A-H-R, I believe it's Poab Nagel, and Jocelyn Badali.
And Carla, just to keep things moving, if you don't take your chair immediately, we're moving on to the next name.
Jim Ivancy.
Yep. Hi, welcome. Thank you
Sir, we have a gentleman who's on the list.
Thank you for your perseverance and your patience. Appreciate it.
The next four are going to be Eric Soto. This is off the support. Stacy Michelson, Ginny Hicks, and I believe it's Maria Hicks.
Okay. Please begin.
My name is Susie Skinner, and born in Portland, moved to Alaska. Our family got ill, diarrhea, vomiting, my mom, my brother, and myself. My dad was out in the bush with on the dew line. And my mom was a registered nurse, and the doctor that she worked for told her that we were experiencing fluoridation poisoning and to start taking bottled water from the hospital basement because they had a well there. And we did start doing that, and we did start getting better. I experienced fluorosis. I have actual fluorosis that people say doesn't happen. And it was diagnosed after we came back down to Oregon by the Oregon OHSU Dental School. And I have three caps on my teeth now because of that pitting and modeling from the fluoride poisoning. Even to this day, my dentist, he can't whiten my teeth because the caps are a certain color. And the fluorosis is, it was painful to a certain extent.
Ma'am, where did you move in Portland or Oregon?
We moved over to Vancouver.
Oh, you moved
but
Vancouver.
We came over. They brought me over for the caps. And I don't mind telling you, I'll be 66 next month, and these caps are still going. You know, so I think that's pretty good work.
Indeed. Thank you for your testimony. I really appreciate it. I'm sorry to hurry everyone along. Sir?
Hey, my name is Bob Nagel, and I was born and raised in Portland, on 60th and Belmont in the hospital there. And went to school about 10 blocks from there, and was raised till the age of 12 with no cavities, only till I went to Camp Collins for 2 weeks and ate candy bars that I got my first cavity. So I want to state that diet has more to do with it, in my experience, than anything else. And we had regular trips. We would walk to the corner dentist. And I also have a few. And you've heard all this stuff before. I have all this stuff prepared, and I don't want to repeat it, but there are studies in Africa where Dr. Weston Price went down there and saw the people, perfect, 80-90% had perfect teeth. There was no sugar. Okay. So what I'd like to do, it seemed like this deal was railroaded through real fast with a lot of intent, and I'd like you to step back and study it from the other side. Here are a couple books. These are two excellent books. One is called The Fluoride Deception. It was written by a BBC author. Here's one called Fluoride, the Aging Factor by John Yamouyannis. He was the director of the Chemical Abstract Service, which vetted all the scientific papers for a while. He accidentally ran into the stuff on fluoride poisoning, spoke up about it, and after a while he had to leave his job.
So we'll... thank you for that. I need to move people along.
Okay.
Minute goes by fast. I'd encourage you all to skip the preamble and go right to your point. Okay. And your point, sir, is?
My daughter, my ex-wife gave her those little blue pills, the fluoride pills, when we were little, and she has dental fluorosis. I guess if we're done, we're done. That was 1 minute, huh?
Yeah, it goes by fast. I'm sorry. Hi, thanks for your patience and perseverance.
Hi, my name is Roxanna Lahr. I'm the mother of two children, and I've been proud to live in a city that has the best water supply in the country, if not the world. I'm against adulterating that water supply with an industrial waste byproduct. I thought who would benefit from water fluoridation. The only thing I can come up with is those industries who want to find a way to dispose of their waste. They would love for taxpayers to pay for their waste. I understand from other testimony and studies that a fluoride application might benefit teeth, but the jury is still out on the detrimental effects of ingesting fluoride over time. As a mother, I'm responsible to keep my children healthy, and if fluoride is added to the water supply, and I think it's detrimental to their health, how am I supposed to protect them? If it's in the water supply, how am I supposed to protect them? Everyone will be forced to ingest it, infants, the elderly, pets, wildlife, and no one knows the long-term health benefits or health effects of fluoride consumption on living things. There has been no study brought up today that talks about long-term health effects of ingesting fluoride.
Thank you.
I will fight against this proposal.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Appreciate it. Hi, thanks for waiting.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
This smile belongs to Jocelyn Bedaly, and I wanted to talk about how there already are, already is fluoride in things that people already ingest. So there's 73% of the country that fluoridates its water. Those 73%, the products that come from those areas, have fluoride in them. People are ingesting that already. They're already over their recommended dose. I love healthy teeth, too. I want to smile, but you know what the real issue is everyone deserves democracy. And I have an organic garden. I love my organic garden. Adding inorganic chemical compounds to your organic garden ceases to be organic. Spraying pesticide or spraying water on at a store onto the produce that is organic, that has fluoride in it, that is like putting pesticides on it, because that is what pesticides are, is fluoride. So I do not consent to it. And I just wanted to also say that 73% of us do it in the United States, but
you're out of time.
Well, just one point is 98% of Europe doesn't do it, and a lot of the reasons why the countries say that they don't do it, they simply state that it's toxic.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Thank you.
Makes a good rat poison.
The next four off of the support list are
Eric. Turn your testimony to Carla if you have it in written form, and we'll be able to read the longer versions. Thank you.
Are Eric Soto, Stacy Michelson, Ginny Hicks, and I believe it's Maria Hicks. One, two, three. And then off of the oppose, let's see, I'm going to get these people first. That was Erica Soto, Stacy Michelson, Ginny Hicks, Maria Hicks, about My Day Bowls.
Tell you what, sounds like a lot of people have signed up, maybe thinking they need to sign in to be here. So how many people are here to testify that are left? Let's see, that's 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. All right, 27. We're going to start on this side of the room and go around. So if you signed up to testify over here, we'll just make our way around the room. It'll be reasonably random. And would you like to begin, ma'am? Thanks for your perseverance and patience.
Yeah, thanks for letting us speak. So, good evening. My name is Brenna Lewis.
My name is Lauren Harris.
And I'm Teresa Grave.
And we are all members of the residency training program at Oregon Health and Science University. So it trains pediatric residents. So we're all medical doctors. There's 48 of us in total and part of the group. And it's the only such residency in the entire state of Oregon. And it trains a lot of the state's pediatricians. So we see the impact of dental cavities in our patients on a daily basis. In the course of our training, we care for children who have behavioral problems, learning, and sleep issues due to chronic tooth pain. And in the hospital, we care for children with more severe sequelae that you've heard from other people about today of cavities, such as skin infections in the face, abscesses both around the tooth in addition to in the brain.
In our practice, we see many barriers to patients getting adequate fluoride supplementation. Many of the patients that we care for either do not have insurance or have insurance that does not cover the cost of fluoride beyond the early school years. Logistical barriers also exist in that to obtain supplementation, a family must attend a doctor's visit, acquire a prescription, obtain it at the pharmacy monthly, and remember to dose this medication daily in order to lessen their children's risk of cavities.
Putting fluoride in our city's water would guarantee all of our children are receiving proper preventive dental care. We look forward to working in a community where we know our children have access to optimal medical and dental care. Please make the decision to fluoridate our city's water. to help our colleagues and ourselves achieve this goal. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, doctors. Hi, welcome.
Hello, I'm Mighty Bowles, Mayor Adams, members of the council. I'm a parent and a public health research scientist, and I understand firsthand the importance of water fluoridation. I have researched the issue, and I'm confident that it's safe and effective way to better the health of my own child and the health of everyone, especially children in the Portland area. Unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation on fluoride present on certain websites, some of which distort the studies and take information out of context. For example, the Harvard IQ study that we've heard a lot about today was picked up recently by an anti-fluoridation website that inaccurately represented the study as being relevant to water fluoridation. And in fact, we know that the studies, of course, that were reviewed in that study looked at water fluoridation that was extremely high levels in China. And we know that that's not what we are talking about with regard to water fluoridation here in Portland. So I just want to say water fluoridation is an excellent way to decrease the dental disease, and I strongly support the science that supports water fluoridation.
Thank you very much. All right, we're over. That'd be great. And you, please come forward. Sir, we've got our next four. Sir in the back, we'll be right with you. Sir in the front. We'll get you next time, I promise. No. Yeah, you're fine. Sorry. Yes, you're fine. Fine. This is why we have a list. Usually it's a little easier. And with someone behind the pole, yes, ma'am, that'd be great. Thank you. Sir, thank you for your patience. Oh,
thank you guys for your endurance. I appreciate it. My name is Patrick Ansbrough. I'm a project manager for the Department of Energy, and I'm also a U.S. Navy veteran. I'd like to point out that opposing views are not necessarily fringe elements. Water is the foundation of human survival, only second oxygen. 3 days without water and you die. So my point is you never compromise your water supply. There are other methods of fluoride distribution that don't compromise my self-determination. Government should not be making my health choices for me. Fluoride is a medication. In essence, by adding this prescription to our water supply, you're prescribing universally a medicine that a majority of the population does not require and possibly does not want. Poisoning the well would fluoridate my food, my shower, my clothes, my dishes, my lawn, my pets. I don't think my dog needs this in her diet. This is insidious and without boundaries. A lot of people get sick during cold and flu season. We spread flu to others through contact, miss school, work, using water supply, thought process. Maybe we should also distribute the flu vaccine by crop dusting the city. This is an important issue, and with all important issues, they have an impact on the entire population.
And your time is up.
I say vote on it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, thanks for waiting.
Hi, my name is Elena Howells, and I'm a Portland resident. This is the first time I've ever come to a city council meeting. This is an issue that is important to me. And I'll be very brief. My health issues aside, I have concerns about the toxicity of fluoride, but I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I don't feel qualified to speak on those issues. What I do feel qualified to say is that as a citizen, I believe I should have the right to determine what goes into my body. And it upsets me that the city council, which I generally support and agree with, would try to bypass my right to decide what goes into my body. That's fundamentally my issue, and I'm going to save us 22 seconds.
Thanks.
Can I have those 22
really,
seconds?
You may not, but thank you for your testimony. Hi, thanks for waiting.
Hi, thank you. My name is Kristen Tenbrock. I'm going to try to conjure my East Coast nature and jam through this right now. I've been a Portland resident for 4 years, so I'm a medical student. I want to speak on behalf of people who are susceptible to negative effects of fluoride, the elderly, people with renal insufficiencies, infants, particularly infants who are not breastfed, and just so you know, fluoridated water contains 100 times the amount of fluoride present in breast milk. Okay, cardiovascular, people with cardiovascular disease, people with diabetes insipidus, people with calcium, magnesium, and vitamin C deficiencies are all people who are susceptible to detrimental effects of fluoridation. Also, my second concern is this. Fluoride is the most reactive element on the periodic table. It will etch asbestos, glass, concrete, and other substances, taking that into consideration, and also the fact that the municipal water is becoming more and more contaminated with things like antidepressants and aspirin, I wonder if the resources are available to gauge the potential reactive chemistry unique to our area when we do something like fluoridate the water, because it's very, very reactive, and it combines with things.
So your time is up. Your last thought?
Also, I have the study that everyone is talking about, the CHOICE study, and I feel it's been grossly misquoted by people who purport to have scientific backgrounds. And so I would advise you to call Anna Choi and talk to her about it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. You did a great job of packing a lot in. Hi, thanks for your patience.
Hello. My name is Melissa Henderson, and I'm representing the Native American Youth and Family Center, or NAYA. Thank you for staying tonight. And in addition, I just wanted to speak because there were criticisms earlier that communities of color weren't represented, that we were letting white people make our decisions, and we're not. We're here. So at the NAYA Family Center, what I do is I'm the healthcare youth advocate. My job is to help people in the Native community in Portland identify health resources and then access them, so navigate the medical system. Last month, I was working with a homeless teen mother who had a 3-year-old who needed to see a dentist. The teen was complaining that her son was really hard to handle. They weren't bonding. They were just fighting all the time. But the reason was obvious. It was his teeth were just completely rotten. She couldn't afford to get to the tribal dental clinic in Salem, which is where a lot of our Native community goes. And while she had healthy kids, she didn't know how to use it. So I had to make the appointment for her, help her go through that process. And I just feel like it's really important to know that not everyone can get to school.
Your time's up. Thank you very much. Appreciate you all. Appreciate your testimony. So the next, we'll start with the gentleman in the back, and then the gentleman in the back again, and anyone in the front rows. Man, that'd be great, with a colorful necklace on and camera, it'd be great. I think we've got a full panel. Would you like to begin, sir? Thanks for your patience.
Sure. Mayor Adams, members of the City Commission. My name is Tom Holt. I'm with Regents Blue Cross Blue Shield of Oregon, here in support of this measure, seeing the opportunity to really improve health in the community overall. We couldn't possibly say no. That was really the only question. On a personal note, I grew up just outside the reach of the city water system that was the first to fluoridate, and I have the fillings to show for it. And I had an experiment with growing up seeing my grade school classmates who were inside the system not make the visits to the dentist that I had to. So we urge you to adopt this and to implement it at the earliest possible date.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for waiting.
Thank you. My name is Matthew Bristow, and I'm concerned with the undemocratic way that things have gone about in the proposal to fluoridate Portland's water. So democracy, one day for a decision that affects so many for so long and so many people feel so strongly about. It feels like people were strategically alienated. A large portion of people left. They sat through hours of solely pro-info. Then what we saw was using of extreme examples and pictures of so-called bombed out mouths. Even using the highest success percentages of like 25 or 40%, that wouldn't solve that. This is a forced drug, a purity not assured as a drug, approved and regulated as a drug, so a lower standard. Water is unique. We can't opt out. So informed consent of the governed. So please work to increase and not hinder democratic process.
Thank you very much, Mr. Whitten. Welcome back.
Thank you. And hi, Invisible Nick Fish. How are you? I'm going to bullet point this so fast because there's probably like 10 minutes worth in here. As you can tell, I'm wearing the emblems of both the opposing and supporting sides of this debate. I have friends in both aisles, and it's kind of tearing me apart. And skipping that point, I am a low-income African-American male. I understand how this process is, and I believe that fluoride is an effective tool to help poor families, especially minorities, fight tooth decay at a low cost. I also have reservations as an environmentalist, vegan, and health critic that fluoridation and fluoride is an industrial waste product, and it's not used at all in Europe, and they have better health care, but they also have better medical ethics. And then I talk about the Portland Plan talking about how he spent $3 million about having a public equitable process. And I also mentioned the fact that the Oregonian just posted an article about Tigar, Tualatin, and Gresham Mayers, who felt like they were not part of the conversation. And that's really a contradiction of all the values that we have been supporting for the past 20 years. And so I admire the integrity of our city council, especially Amanda Fritz, because she's been able to sit here and listen to us this entire time. So, you have my full support. And I really hope that we do have a public process and we follow the tradition that we've been doing here for the past 20 years that we've been talking about fluoride. And I hope that we get more than just 6 hours. This has been a great time, but I really want to see people talk together to each other instead of just, 3 to 1 minute soliloquies. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hi, welcome.
Mayor, commissioners, my name is Dorothy Gage. I am here today in opposition to fluoridation, but my major concern is the process. This proposal appeared in the press, calculatedly leaked after months of closed-door strategizing by an unidentified coalition, which lobbied City Hall to reconsider fluoridation yet again. The source of the frenzy to ramrod fluoridation will be revealed. In the meantime, those who stand to pay the bill can only speculate. Let democracy work. And I think there's something fishy here. A plethora of selected persons and agencies were persuaded to step forward and support the proposal to fluoridate the local water supply. The comprehensive health care, an educational process for all, would be fundamental and very productive. There is no quick fix. Members of the City Council who are instrumental in or succumb to this debauchery will be rewarded in history. Citizens are appalled by the political chicanery, suggesting contempt.
And your time is up. I actually gave you extra time.
I need one more thing. I recently purchased a new washer, and there was a button on the machine, and it says pause. At some point, the truth should prevail. Let the people take charge.
Have you been here all day?
Oh, yes.
Okay, just checking.
Ever since noon.
Well, thank you for your perseverance. It's always good to see you.
Nice to see you. Thank you.
All right. We're now moving this way. This way. Sir. Ma'am, come on up. Ma'am, that'd be great. Anybody else on this side? I'll get you that. Just checking. Want to make sure. All right, sir. That'd be great. Ma'am in the back in the black shirt. Mr. Parker. Gentleman behind the pole.
Is this four?
What's that?
Is this four or is this just general?
Now we're doing potpourri. Lightning round. Okay. Lightning round, yeah.
Did someone leave their bag?
Yeah,
okay, I invited too many people up. Terry, you'll take a seat in the front row. We'll get you next time. Jeff, sir, thank you. Thank you for your perseverance. Would you like to begin?
Congratulations on your award.
Thank you very much.
For me personally, it's about my bones. I'm under treatment for severe osteoporosis. Arrow, right?
Could you give us your name, please?
I'm Tamsin Taylor.
Thank you.
Quite simply, a fluoride would make my bones heavier, but it would hollow out my bones, making them weaker and more brittle. And the documentation is not junk science. It's the Mayo Clinic, New England Journal of Medicine. You might say that my bones and your bones are less important than kids and their teeth, but fluoride interacts not only badly with calcium, it's with lead, and that's the mechanism behind the Harvard study that you've been talking about. It's an unapproved drug. It interacts badly with iodine, as you heard, in terms of its impact on thyroid. When I first heard about this issue, I thought, well, I'll just filter this stuff out. But there's no reasonable technology to do that short of distillation. So you're forcing us to drink it, bathe in it, put it in the water supply, et cetera. Now, I hear from all the testimony today that in very small doses, it can help kids' teeth. But with this fast-track process, I'm concerned about the safety in the process.
Thank you very much. Hi, welcome. Thanks for being patient.
Thank you. I'm Emily Furman. I'm a senior program officer of the Washington Dental Service Foundation, and I've come here briefly, hopefully being a good neighbor, to speak of the benefits of community water fluoridation, and in particular for our region in Washington. The foundation is a charitable arm of the largest dental benefit company in Washington State, and our mission is to prevent oral disease and support overall health. 64% of Washington is fluoridated. That includes Seattle, Everett, Tacoma, Bellevue, and Yakima, among other major cities. Tens of millions of Americans have been drinking fluoridated water regularly for over 40 years, and in Seattle, that's for over 50 years. The foundation supports community water fluoridation because it is the best and most cost-effective way to provide fluoride's dental benefits to everyone in a community, including children, adults, and seniors, and those without access to dental care. We simply drink the water and then receive fluoridation's benefits. It'd be nice to receive, if we come here, have some Portland beer. It'd be nice to have it to be fluoridated. When I have it in Seattle, I'd love to have the same. That's a great thing. We've had some people mention about Europe and some of the concerns around fluoridation
need
there.
Need you to finish up?
I'll finish. And basically, thank you for letting me be here.
Thank you for your patience. Hi, welcome.
Hi, I'm Nancy Newell, and I've been here quite a few times, but my biggest concern today is that Commissioner Leonard is ignoring the problem of sugar in diet, and also ignoring that we only provide, we're 33rd in the United States in feeding our children. This is the single largest cause of decay in teeth, as well as several problems that they've mentioned from teeth causing heart disease, etc. Starving kids is right at the top of the list. So one of the things that you mentioned while you were head of the Water Bureau is during the reservoir problem where there was urination in the water, you said you would drink Coke. So that was advertised to the entire community of Portland and the Oregonian, that you supported the drinking of a soda that is equivalent to eating 20 marshmallows in one stretch. So I'm just wondering, as you retire, are you going to recommend that to your 14-year-old grandson? And how in the world can we trust judgment from someone that is so cavalier and flippant about such a serious issue to promote a product that is causing a lot of tooth decay in our community?
Hi, sir. Thanks for your perseverance.
Thank you. I have a PowerPoint slides that I'd like you to be looking at. I'm Dr. Bill Osmondson. I've been a dentist for 35 years, and for the first 25, I promoted water fluoridation. And looking personally at the research was like a knee in the gut. My first slide, as you can see there, is dental fluorosis, how it's increasing. That is sometimes used in research to compare different groups of people. In the United States, we have too much fluoride that we're ingesting. The EPA, in their dose response analysis, also showed that those above the black line are getting too much fluoride. In order to make it not look so bad, they eliminated the infants, they eliminated those drinking the most water, and they eliminated any margin of safety. Now, the FDA is responsible, has jurisdiction over substances used to prevent disease. That says on your toothpaste label, drug facts. The FDA has rejected fluoride supplements for ingestion because they say it's not effective or safe. It's your job as manufacturers, the final manufacturer of the substance, to get FDA approval. Now, here's an example of dental fluorosis. I had a patient today, Stephanie, who I diagnosed dental fluorosis on, which I do on patients from Portland frequently. What are we going to do about those people who are getting too much fluoride already? How are you going to caution them not to get more fluoride? Now, one of the problems with bones is that there's more bone fracture in fluoridated areas. We see more tooth fracture in fluoridated areas. Tooth crowns are very lucrative. Of course, they're not as bad as working on kids, but they are lucrative, and we see more of that in fluoridated areas. Now, if you look at this graph, it's very important. Before fluoridation started, decays dropped in about half. Why? No one knows, has a clue what that was. We've not corrected for it in any research since then. So all the studies that we have, none of them are prospective randomized controlled trials. We have no good studies. When we compare countries of the world, we find that they also, British Medical Journal, fluoride research, that they've all reduced decay the same amounts. This has continued on. I won't go over this, but basically the studies between Washington and Oregon, they're awash. There's no real difference. This is the one that I want you to look at that's different than what you've seen before. This is ranking the states in the United States based on the percentage of those fluoridated. So we have 50 states here. Then we plot the mental retardation as all government studies, all government surveys, and we find that there's a roughly tripling of mental retardation in the United States with fluoridation. That is roughly a half a standard deviation, the same as the choice study of about a half a standard deviation, roughly 7 IQ points. Now, what does that mean? That means we have much higher high school dropouts.
So your time's up.
I know, chronic welfare recipients, incarceration,
giving you
living in poverty.
I know you have, but this is
very important. To do it.
Okay. Yeah, well,
there's more employment. We're looking at $7,000 per person, roughly $5 billion in Oregon that will go on for 3 generations, according to Animal States. 3 generations.
All right.
It's a DNA problem.
I've got other people waiting.
Yes,
thank you, doctor. Appreciate it. Next, through here, it's my job to get us out of here. No clapping, even though it's late. All right, gentlemen in the back. Yes, sir. I'm sorry to be great. Mr. Parker. Ma'am, that'd be great. Mr. Parker.
My name's Terry Parker. I'm a fourth-generation Portlander that's been here since before 1 o'clock. The purity of Portland's water needs to remain perfectly clear. Like invasive species, what we have here is invasive government. There has been a complete failure to have a two-sided, transparent conversation within this process. Today's hearing has been, for the most part, orchestrated theater by those favoring fluoride being shoved down the throats of Portlanders. With all the hype about getting the BPA out of sippy cups, mandating the ingestion of toxic, pungent chemical through something as basic as the human need for clean drinking water is simply going backwards. If the behind-closed-door groups pushing fluoride repurposed all the money they are spending on TV ads, they could likely supply toothpaste and toothbrushes many times over for every needy kid in Portland. You are elected as servants of the people, not to be confused with self-appointed dictators to the people, as is happening with today's bypass of the public. This process needs an injection of equity.
Thank you, sir. Hi, thanks for waiting.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council Commissioners. My name is Daniel Ornelas. I'm the Office Operations Manager for the Dental Clinics at Virginia Garcia Memorial Health Center. We mainly serve low-income Oregon Health Plan covered and uninsured children and adults. As a dental office manager, I experience on a regular basis the hurdles that our patients' families go through when their children are too young and suffering from rampant caries to the point of needing a referral to a specialist. Some of these hurdles include getting lost while trying to find a specialist office, being unable to communicate with a specialist office when making the appointment, missing their appointments due to them not understanding schedule instructions, having to wait days or even weeks for an available appointment, and facing other barriers such as lack of childcare and transportation. From my professional standpoint, and also on a personal note, I believe it's a shame that we're not doing more to prevent this from happening. We have something that is safe, proven effective, and cost-effective that could at least decrease the current cavity problem that we see. Our community and future generations would benefit from the protection of access to fluoridated water, and we're counting on you making the right choice in providing it. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, sir. Hi, thanks for waiting.
Thank you. My name is Craig Mossbeck, and I'm a Portland resident. And I've been lucky to live in this city for 30 years, but for my teeth, I'm lucky that I spent my first 18 years in another state that had fluoridated water. I didn't really think about my dental health, and I had no cavities until I came to Portland. Unfortunately, my daughter was not so lucky. Maybe because I had good teeth, I wasn't paying attention to her dental health as she was growing up. When she was 4 years old, she had cavities in half of her teeth and needed a baby root canal. She was lucky in that we had dental insurance, but I remember the day that she was in the dental office getting all her decayed teeth worked on. There are thousands of other children like her, and they're suffering needlessly because Portland does not have fluoridated water. My family supports Portland fluoridating the water, and we appreciate you taking this effort on now. Healthy teeth for Oregonian is long overdue.
Thank you, sir. Ma'am, thanks for your patience.
You just turned it off.
Yeah.
I know.
I was trying to be so clever. So, esteemed council, thank you guys so much for your perseverance tonight. It's greatly appreciated. I am a proud Oregon transplant. I've been here for 7 years, and I am devastated at the decision that you guys have moved in for your voting factor here. I'm going to try to keep this incredibly brief. So you hold this office as public servants and administrators, determined as our representatives to research, negotiate, and inform the population on our behalf, not to treat us as children and to make contested decisions for us, which is why this issue has been brought up to a public vote before. The only logical reason that I can see this issue would be decided by your esteemed selves is that you believe your constituents are not educated enough or informed enough to decide, both of which would indicate a failure on your part in education. You assume that cited research is the most valid. I would think that the 120-plus non-fluorinated countries would probably disagree with you. Or there's a hidden reason to begin a multimillion-dollar city work within 30 days of a council vote, which only indicates an incentivization or corruption. So my question is this. Do you believe that we're stupid, or are you corrupt? Neither of which I think are correct. I'm sorry, may I make one more point?
No.
May I have your name? May I have your name, please?
I'm Jamie Brennan.
Thank you. Next four. Next, all right. Sir in the back by the clock. Sir right there with the crosses on. Thank you. With the hat. Ma'am, yeah, in the orange shirt. In the orange blouse. That's great. Hi, would you like to begin?
Yeah, sure. My name is John Michael Christian. I just want to say, start with God bless you. I have a few questions. Do any of the council members, including you, Mayor Sam Adams, have friends or family relations with that work with the fluoride industry or anybody who lobbies for the fluoride industry?
No.
Okay. Are all the meetings that you've had with the fluoride industry documented and their lobbyists?
Sir, do you have something you want to say?
It's late. Are you answering that question? Is that a yes or a no?
I'm answering that question with, you've got something to say, say it.
I just said it. There's also a rumor, Mayor, that your former campaign manager, Mr. Wiener or Weiner, and it's a rumor, I mean, a lot of people out here thinking, I'm giving you a chance to clear it up, is involved with the Florida industry. Is there any truth to that?
You're using up your minute.
Can I ask you a question?
Are you not going to answer?
And you've got 9 seconds.
I would also like to say that man's intrusion chemically and scientifically into nature is what caused this mess in the first place. To continue on that road with fluoride and other chemicals is counterintuitive and lacks common sense.
Thank you for your testimony. Ma'am, thanks for waiting.
Madeline McCumber, and I am a resident of Portland and a taxpayer, and I am a senior citizen, of which I'm very proud that I have all my teeth with the exception of some
It's okay.
That's all right.
Never mind. Congratulations.
My wisdom teeth. But I have a personal vindication against fluoridation because I am allergic to it. For many years, I did not realize that I was allergic until I went to Seattle and someone informed me that there was fluoridation in the water. I was constantly getting sore throats when I arrived in the city, not to mention the fact going into any swimming pools, so bathing in fluoridated water makes me ache all over. And I think it's an invasion of our privacy to take and have fluoridation put in. It is called mass medication, and I very much resent it, and I will do everything to take and fight against it if you do.
Thanks for your testimony. Appreciate
it.
Sir.
Hello. My name is Eric Klein. In my previous life, I was a reporter, and I attended a whole bunch of Berkeley City Council meetings. So from my outsider perspective, what Portland has done is just skipped a huge step in the public process where all of this would have happened in a much more organized and rational way in a series of meetings where much more low blood sugar topics would not have gone off. It's like, I can't believe we're at this point now where this dentist has to be cut off from his PowerPoint presentation when 3.5 decades ago we had all of those other dentists who were able to give a dozen dentists give their presentations. I'm flustered. I'm not a good public speaker.
You're doing great.
You are doing
Thank
great.
You. But it would have been nice to see this amount of energy as a coalition to stop sugar. It would have been really nifty to this lobby that is clearly very strong could have done battle with the sugar lobby and really made a big change, and you would have had the alternative health community siding with this community, and now instead we're...
So thank you for your testimony.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it, sir. Thanks for waiting.
Mr. Sam Adams, Your Honor, my name is Reginald McRae. I reside in Camas, Washington. My mother has been an anti-fluoride activist since the early 60s. She was served twice as the first Camas City Councilwoman in 1968 through 73, and again.
You just got a few minutes.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your mom's public service.
Unfortunately, Camas has fluoride in the water, and what I would like to relate to you, sir, is that based on all the testimony today, fluoride is a basic ingredient in both Prozac and sarin nerve gas, and it's a byproduct of the chemical aluminum industry, and since World War II, it's been pushed upon the American public by the military-industrial complex of the United States, and it's not necessary to be inducing that chemical, that poison, into people's drinking water.
Thank you for your testimony and your patience. All right, anyone else over here? Ma'am in the back, a gentleman with a hat. Gentleman over here raising his hand. That's it, from what I can see. One more, all right. Sir, hiding behind the clock. You weren't napping, were you? You better not be napping. No, come on up, there's another chair up here. All right, ma'am, would you like to begin?
Sure, thank you. My name is Mary Daly. I'm the program manager of the Mobile Dental Van, affectionately known as the Tooth Taxi. You've heard about it earlier today. We travel the state of Oregon providing free dental care for school children K through 12. Some of the worst decay we've encountered has been in Portland and surrounding communities. Take, for example, this picture on my name badge. This young girl had not been to a dentist in years. She has holes in her teeth and black teeth deep with decay. These are her front teeth. Her father lost all of his teeth at 28 years of age. She's on that same path. Fluoridated water would have been especially helpful to stem this tide of decay. Her oral health story demonstrates the facts. Tooth taxi decay is the most common childhood disease, often causing pain and infection, in turn affecting school attendance, success, nutrition, and self-esteem. 32% of the families that we see on the tooth taxi have an annual income of less than $10,000. 10% of the students we see at their first visit to the dentist, these aren't preschoolers, but 7 to 18-year-olds. I will wrap this up by saying I strongly support fluoridating Portland's water system, and I think the benefit would be tremendous to this population as well as everyone.
Thank you. Thanks for waiting. Thanks for your perseverance, sir.
No trouble at all. Thank you. So fluoride varnishes and toothpaste are ubiquitous and available at a negligible cost per use. If you don't use fluoride toothpaste, fluoridation proponents do not claim that drinking fluoridated water will be enough on its own to protect your teeth. If you do use fluoridated toothpaste, you're getting plenty of fluoride on your teeth without ever needing to drink any fluoridated water. If you want to use fluoride to protect your teeth, you can find it in almost any toothpaste on the market. If you don't want to use fluoride, but it's added to the public water supply, what choice do you have? Fluorosilicic acid does not disinfect water. It does not neutralize pH. It is added to water supplies solely for the perceived dental benefits and nothing more. Cavities are not caused by non-fluoridated water. They are caused by sugars and acids in our diet. Supporting community water fluoridation imposes unwanted side effects on the rest of us and is no replacement for proper oral hygiene and regular checkups at the dentist. Lobbyists and proponents beg the question, why would anyone oppose a solution that is backed by every major health authority, costs far less than any alternative, and is the only solution that automatically benefits everyone regardless of race or class? But I would vigorously challenge the notion that water fluoridation is the only possible cost-effective, status-irrelevant solution that every major health authority would support.
Could you give me your name, please?
Oh, sorry, Chris Becker.
Thank you.
Sorry, Chris Becker. Sir, thanks for waiting.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to say, I guess, that I'm really appalled that everything seems like a bad James Bond movie. We got nuclear waste falling from the sky in our oceans. We got people threatening to put poison in our water. And it seems logical enough to assume that if most of Europe has studied this and has concluded that it's toxic to them and they took it out, that we should be able to trust their scientists as well and join forces with them to educate ourselves better. Because the problem is with our education system, the information has been tainted. So anything that could be used in cockroach poison or sarin gas or used by the Nazis to keep the Jews docile probably shouldn't be used on us unless we want some kind of fascist living situation. And yeah, I just hope that you look deep inside yourselves and think about the people that are here talking to you, and make the effort to let them have their day to vote on this. Thank you.
Could I have your name, please? Sir, could I have your name, please?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Sir, thanks for your patience. You're our last testifier.
My name is Joshua Moffitt. I'm a general dentist.
Could you get a little closer, Mr. Moffitt?
I'm a general dentist in Portland for about 8 years, Dr. Joshua Moffitt, and I deal with fear on a daily basis. And what I would say is that I don't force people to get their teeth fixed. If they're too afraid to have treatment done, then I let it go. And I know that those patients are going to lose their teeth and end up with dentures. But as far as the kids are concerned and the very elderly, I've worked on patients with rampant decay as young as 2 and as old as 100. I should not be doing extractions on people right now. So my fear is public speaking. But it's important enough for me to say my 2 cents. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor. Thank you all very much.
One more person who said he signed up.
Oh, yes. Okay. Thank you all. You please return to your seat. Anybody else want to testify? This is our last panel. All right. Yeah. I mean, yes, please come up. Okay.
No word.
Sir.
Hello.
Can you get a little closer to the
yes,
mic? Thanks for your patience and perseverance.
Thank you, guys. It's been a long day. I can tell that. I'm congressional candidate out of the 2nd District of Washington State, Carrie Lanumi. I'm actually here on vacation. I had no idea this was happening, but a very lively event, and I'm...
Where are you from?
Actually, just north of Seattle in the 2nd District, where Rick Larson is right now.
You're spending lots of money while you're here?
Yes, I am. And I went with quite a few hours without food, too. But anyway, so ultimately, it was well worth it being a statesman. So we're here today. I've heard some really powerful arguments. I'm sure many of the people that are for what would be the fluorosis of water, or excuse me, fluoridating water, probably have a prudent endeavor in the back of their minds. But I will say this, that anything that's forced upon the American people, if it's how many gallons of water you flush or what kind of light bulb you have or this or that, that's going a little too far. When they're in our toilet, they're in our bedroom, this or that, or the government or whatever. So I would be against the fluoridation of what would be the Portland water, even though I'm not a resident here, ultimately under the circumstances, because I believe it's being forced upon the people. And there are clearly, obviously, indicators that people could go out of their way to receive that fluoride if they choose to for their children. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. All right. That brings our hearing to a close. The public record remains open, and people can email the council at?
To my address, Carla, K-A-R-L-A, dot more, M-O-O-R-E, dash love, at portlandoregon.gov. I have my cards if you need it.
And that goes, that'll be then sent out to all of us. We really appreciate your time and effort.
Mayor, I usually don't like the theater.
No, we introduced you.
Wonderful.
So they think you're there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't stand up and wave. Did you have a surrogate?
Nobody stood up when they introduced. I didn't stand up. So.
Oh, cool.
They thanked Amanda Fritz for being there.
Oh, that's all right. I still have to go thank Comcast, who invited me to their table. So they would have noticed.
I've been here since 6:30 this morning.
I think you do
a
great job.
Thank you.
I think you would do a great job. I think we went through 4 city attorneys tonight.